League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
With the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
I am here to stop a mud hole and walk it dry. It is the Bees, Blank, Branham. Brian, thank you guys for holding down the fort. I sincerely appreciate it. Thank y'all. I apologize as well. It is Valentine's Day. Have you guys professed your love to one another yet? Because I'm here to profess my love to both of you. Blankers, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Brian, I love you a little less. Happy Valentine's Day to you as well.
Well, I'm now less inclined to say I love you back. If you're gonna make this a contest and rank who you love.
It's not a contest.
You're ranking who you love more. I'm not going to participate in that.
I believe in being truthful and transparent.
Okay.
One of my calling cards. You might not like it, but it's what you're going to get.
Are you okay?
Like, what do you mean?
What kind of hotel are you staying at that you had to go?
I'm staying at a nice hotel. It's just a nice hotel. I mean, I'm traveling with the team. It's a nice hotel. It's a hotel I've stayed at many times that always accommodate my needs. How many times has this happened? First time.
That's crazy. That the whole team had to go through that?
No. I traveled ahead of them. They're not here yet.
Yeah,
they're not here yet. They'll be here in about 30, 40 minutes, I guess. I just had to wait. I had to wait. They didn't call me back though. I am a little bit sassy about that. They said they were going to call me as soon as it was ready, and they didn't do that. It took me going to the front desk again. Like, hey, how about that room? And like, oh yeah, it's ready now. Oh, okay. Where was that phone call? Oh, must have forgot. Okay, all right. You're busy. It's no big deal. But nobody cares about my travel woes. Thank you guys sincerely.
You're the voice of the Cougs. You know who I am, like Marcus Jordan style. Maybe you got in the room quicker.
Do you think that I'm that kind of guy? Do you know
you
who I am? Yeah, you're right,
that?
I am. I am that kind of guy.
Do you want us to answer that?
I am definitely that. I'm not that kind of guy. What you get on the air is not who I am in my personal life. What have you guys been doing?
Several listeners want to know if you got lobby coffee.
No, I didn't. I didn't get lobby coffee. I got airline coffee, which is always terrible.
Oh, that is not good. Yeah,
it's
always bad.
Notoriously bad? Because
I'm not a
coffee drinker.
Coffee's normally pretty decent.
Okay.
No,
I'm not a coffee drinker, so I have no idea.
A lot of times it's like a Starbucks brew.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. No, I didn't have any lobby coffee. Don't put it past me, though. I definitely would. I mean, I had airplane coffee. You know that I would. What have you guys been talking about?
A lot of people very participatory on this Rockets conversation on multiple fronts, but just from what happened last night to what they should do in the offseason to Jalen Green to who's to blame to a lot of people chiming in on their opinions. A lot of people down on, and I actually defended him, but not a lot of people, but had one person that wanted to say that this was Rafael Stone's fault because he doesn't want to trade.
See, watching that game yesterday, did it make you want Kevin Durant a little bit more?
No. No, because starters not wanting to play.
They're running out Nate Williams, and you're like, yeah, this is good. We don't need Kevin Durant. We got Nate Williams. We're all good.
He didn't play bad, though. He didn't play bad.
No, he did. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
He did play good. I did see in your run. I did want to take a little bit of I did want to push back. So I'm a little sad that I missed the first hour. So, like, fast forward, compress 1 hour together, times five speed. I see your note here. It says credit to the coach for riding and dying with the second unit.
Yeah.
And I agree for the most part. And I might even agree bigger picture, but for that singular game, and like I understand the starters were lousy, I felt like he rode that second unit a little too long.
I think it was more a statement for the big picture because, you know, when we were talking about it, I refer to the game six against the Clippers in the playoffs where McHale lost his job because he inevitably wouldn't do kind of what the same way Udoka did last night, where he wanted to reward the guys that got him back in the game, let him finish. Harden was pissed. Harden never forgot it, and then Harden got him fired. I think, to me, it was more impressive last night that Udoka, who is in complete control from a franchise standpoint, just basically said, look, I've been talking about this in post games. I've been kind of calling you out without calling you out, and now I'm going to do on a bigger scale what I haven't done in the past, and that is I'm going to do with a complete line change. I'm going to put five guys down on the bench and check in other guys, and then you see the results. I will say that to you, I would say the ballsiest move in all of that was the fact that he did not, at the end, when it got down to a one-possession game, not reinsert at least one or two of the guys.
Yeah, I thought they ran out of gas. Like, I thought that the second unit ran out of gas. I would have went to them with a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like, right there, like, I can't remember if they ever pushed it across, but they tied the game. They tied the game with, like, 6-7 minutes to go, and then Golden State extended it to, like, 6 or 7. I felt right around that mark, like the 3, 3.5, 4 minute mark. I felt like that's when he should have made the switch. If we're looking at it from a singular game perspective, because I'm totally fine losing a battle for the war. I'm totally cool with that. I'm totally cool with sending messages to the starters. So big picture, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
I would have the one nitpick is if we're talking about if you were trying your best to win that game yesterday, then I thought he should have went back. Maybe not to all the starters, but some of them with about 3.5, 4 minutes to go.
Let me ask you this, because Brian and I were kicking this back and forth. This is the next level statement after just calling him out in a press conference. What's next after this? Because I said the next thing that he would have to do now, if this doesn't kind of get through to these guys, is he'd probably have to change someone out in the starting lineup at a certain point if he wants to kind of continue to have the control of being able to say, hey, if this ain't working, I'll do this.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen by default, right? I mean, you're getting Fred VanVleet back after the All-Star game. Hopefully, Jabari's back after the All-Star game, too. So, like, that's going to be by default. So, I feel like you're going to hit the reset button with the All-Star break. You hit the reset button. You get your starters back. Let's see what the starting lineup is, because I think Amin Thompson has secured one of the starting spots. Who's going to be one of the six starters that goes to the bench? I feel like this is a reset. I think he's going to let it breathe for a little bit, have a runway of several games. But, yeah, I think that he would have no problem shuffling up what becomes the new starting lineup if they have a couple of other games like this, for sure, especially after the reset.
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's not worried, and, you know, to pull your quote, he's not worried about feelings either. I mean, at a certain point, he knows these young guys, what he's got. He's done it before individually by sitting down Alpi and Jalen when they don't play defense. It's a bigger step, but I could see him easily sitting down one if not both of those guys, or just making a statement and saying, until you start to understand what I'm trying to tell you, you can learn from the bench by watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the bench is a great motivator. I think Ime Udoka would kind of like it, too. I think he's the kind of guy that not only is he not scared of the confrontation and the controversy of doing that, I think he would kind of like doing that. I would kind of like it, too. Did you catch the question that he got post-game yesterday? Hey, Ime, did you think about putting your starters back in the game? Nope.
Yep.
Finn, end of question. End of answer. That'll do it for that one. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The full band's back together. I noticed that I mentioned I love both of you guys, and neither one of you returned the love. It's a depressing, dark Valentine's Day for Branham, I guess. 713-780-ESPN.
Decided to rank us like a monster.
I didn't rank you. I said which one of the two. I mean, I ranked you by, like, accident. Like, but I love Blanker slightly more than I love you. If you can't handle the truth, that's a you problem. Don't look at me. Don't get bitter. Don't get sad. Stop being so soft.
I don't have to look at you. You're in Arizona.
713-780-3776. Good one, Brian. Did Scott Boras screw Alex Bregman? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You're screwing yourself if you're a business owner and you're not using HRP. That's a fact. HRP, Human Resources and Payroll. Cougar owned by Mike Holly. Go Cougs. And, you know, Cougs spread a lot of love. Chris Fisher over there and Aggie. We know that Aggies is a foundation built on love. Business owners, let HRP help you. Whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, whatever. HRP is going to help you and your business. They can help in all of those areas I just mentioned. They can help in one of those areas. You're not reading off a menu. You're not ordering off the menu. There's no boxes with HRP. Doesn't matter how small, how big the job, HRP is going to completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem? You have an issue. You want to take a little bit off your plate. You want to take a big portion off your plate. HRP is going to find a way to help you do that. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But the service is phenomenal. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Give them a call, 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is this your thing today, Brian? You're playing Valentine songs?
Well, it wasn't a thing, but it could certainly be a thing.
It's Nirvana.
I kind of like
is.
It.
It is Nirvana.
Like some subtle, because I mean, this you wouldn't think this is a Valentine song, but
no, but it's called about a girl, so there's you could stretch it and make it one.
Yeah. Kind of like some subtle Valentine bangers. All right, Brian.
Can I just tell you how annoying
all
that
right.
is?
What?
I was not
banger?
Familiar with
it
your
went
game.
Went on satellite radio, that regular just, you know, playing a variety of different music. Even like, you know, my daughter's on, I forget what it's called now, but it's like the most current pop music stations. They do there for 2 days all Valentine-themed music. At a certain point, maybe we don't want to all hear nothing.
Oh, so you're going to really love a Valentine's theme bump rotation
station. Hold on a second. Why couldn't you just turn the station?
Jeremy, there's multiple stations that are doing it. I do. She just sits there and she flips through them, and her current stations, the majority of them, she's like, oh, they're on the Valentine's kick, too. I'm like, sweet.
Like TV stations?
No.
I said satellite radio stations. Like Sirius X, yeah.
Yes,
you're in the car with people?
With my kid.
Oh, okay. So you're listening to it before your kid. Okay, I thought you were listening to this by yourself.
Oh, I don't mind that station. I forget what they call it right now, but I'll listen to that station when it's, like, running all the current songs. Now it's just all the ballads and the sappies and the Bruno Mars. What's the one that was up for a grand? The Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, If I Die Tomorrow.
I like
just sap.
Well, you know I got to play that now.
Please
don't. I thought that I envisioned you driving around in your car like Stan and Eminem, like you're just listening to these songs
Grinding
and like depressing yourself. And like you're not changing the station? I didn't realize that you had your daughter
nothing
in
like
the
that.
Car. It's like Blankers, just change the station. It's not that big of a deal. Alex Bregman, 120 for three, 90 million for 3 years, and then the rest of it's deferred. I have people on my Twitter that are acting like that 30 million like evaporates, like he's never going to get it. It's the weirdest thing. People are like, well, if it's deferred, you know, it doesn't even matter. What? No, I wish I could have 30 million owed to me in 4 through 10 years. That would be outstanding. I would love for that to be the case. Did you see the picture of Bregman hugging Alex Cora today?
I saw the video of it. Yeah.
Oh, the video. I saw the picture of it right by the golf cart. Oh, yep. Actually, maybe I did see a video because I saw him get in the golf cart now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. What'd you think when you saw that?
Look, I think that there's no doubt that there's an extremely positive relationship between those two guys. I'm sure that aside from getting in the middle of all the money that went with it, I'm sure Cora was leading the charge to go get him because he values and loves, you know, everything about Alex Bregman. So from that regard, I think, regardless of where Bregman really wanted to or didn't want to go, I'm sure that makes the whole transition to a new situation much easier for him to know that his manager is someone that he's very close with, that's a big supporter of his, and that can help him get acclimated very quickly. It might even help him get to third base quicker.
Yeah. I saw a couple of cheaters is what I saw. Massive cheaters. I don't think that the Astros had that scheme that they did if Alex Cora wasn't around. And I don't think that there was anybody that was a bigger benefactor of it. Well, Marwin was the biggest. But Alex Bregman was up there. Alex Bregman was top two, top three biggest benefactors of the banging the trash can. So whenever I saw Cora and I saw Bregman, I saw a travesty to baseball. I saw a couple of peas in the cheater pod is what I saw, Blankers.
Okay. I mean, this is part of the reason why when we said wrong answers only, where's Jeremy, people thought you were actually already wherever in Florida with the Red Sox so you could boo him.
So I could heckle him?
Yeah. And Core might go back at you because, you know, if you know the story with him and Blummer on the bus, Core gets to be a little feisty.
They're about to fight. They got to be separated.
Yeah. It's easy to say that for sure. And we know that Cora the Yankee, Carlos Beltran. Those are the two guys that were the ringleaders. Those were the two guys that should get a lot of the blame. But, yeah, I mean, look, the one guy that it really annoys me, and I still have friends that are just hell-bent on the fact that Altuve is a cheater when everybody has basically said he didn't do it. You can't go to the defense of Alex Bregman the same way. So, I mean, look, all kidding aside, when you look at it, it's just very rich to me that the Red Sox and the Yankees with Gerrit Cole and you know, the Astros that and Beltran now with the Yankees organization again and Cora and Bregman reunited with Boston. It's funny, all the people that have so much to say about, oh, the Astros cheaters and always wanting to heckle them, and now, you know, it's just like the Dodgers taking the Red Sox cheaters too. Everybody we knew was doing it, but now the teams that were highly critical of it are just soaking up as many players on both teams.
I think the Astros are the good guys in baseball now. There's zero cheaters left on this team. Altuve was not cheating. People think he was, but he was not. A.J. Hinch is a Tiger. Detroit, bunch of cheaters. Alex Cora, Alex Bregman, a couple of cheating Alexes there in the at Fenway, bunch of cheaters. Mookie Betts cheated his tail off. Cheated his tail off in 2018. You know, I want the numbers of Mookie Betts whenever JT Watkins is his running mate and whenever he's not his running mate. I bet you it's a night and day difference between those two guys. Yeah, so I saw some cheaters there. But Bregman got paid. No doubt about that. Do you had the thought that Boris could have screwed Alex Bregman. Now that we, hindsight 2020, and we have all the information, or as close as we're ever going to get to all the information, do you think that Boris screwed Bregman?
No, there's no way. I mean, as much as I was questioning it, when you know that he's going to walk out of this deal with a minimum of $120 million over 3 years, no matter what's deferred or not, he's going to get that money, people. That for the next 3 years, if you're telling me that he only has to earn $36 million, yeah, Boris won the deal. And I think that it was, I don't want to say lucky, but it was very, very well timed that the Red Sox suddenly seemed to be somewhat desperate to try and make some kind of move to be relevant again, because they were always known as one of those teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers that no price tag was too high and they were going to go spend to make them have one of the better teams in baseball. And they kind of stepped back for a couple years. But now they truly wanted to make another statement, and they got a guy that they believe, along with other guys that they have paid a lot of money to, are capable of putting the Red Sox back on the map and competitive.
If they cheat, I think that they will. I'm going to save that thought until Tuesday because I have a thought or two. Oh. No, something else. Scott Boras, big winner of the Major League Baseball offseason, I think.
Well, he starts with Juan Soto. That's a pretty good way to start winning.
Big winner. Yes. Yeah, everybody criticizes Boris for screwing like the whole Jordan Montgomery, who still got handsomely paid, by the way. And then like, oh, he screwed Jordan Montgomery. Oh, but Jordan Montgomery still opted into that contract for a team that hates him. So maybe that really wasn't such a bad deal after all. But Boris had himself an offseason. That guy can agent. I don't know the right word for that, but he can agent. That's Scott Boras. Very, very rich. Very, very weird. But very, very rich.
I pulled the numbers before we got into this free agent season of what his career earnings were as an agent, and it's over $500 million.
Boris?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's nice. Impressive. And now you add Juan Soto, and you add this Bregman contract, and you add the other guys that he represents. From a financial standpoint, he's just fine.
Yeah. I bet you Boris gets into his hotel rooms whenever he wants to.
Probably where the bags are carried and maybe the equipment is set up if he has to do a radio show.
Yeah. It's turnkey when Boris is there. That's what happens when you've made half a bill. All right, 713-780-ESPN. We started talking about the leadership aspect of Alex Bregman, which, look, I think it is valuable. I think we overrate that value. But I pulled up some old Carlos Correa leader-leaving tweets. We're going to read some of these when we come back. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN.
97.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Another job well done by Brian. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Do you really think adding Bregman makes the Red Sox relevant? They're already relevant. And I do think it helps. So I hope that answers your question. But I do think that $30 million real-time dollar money, $40 million deferred, 10 of it deferred, I do think he's highly overpaid. So I hope that answered your text.
God, there's no doubt about it. I never thought in a million years when we were talking about and he had said that, you know, he wasn't taking a pay cut. I could see a team going just over 30, but 40 was not in my realm of possibilities for Alex Bregman.
Soapbox, though, I hate that teams can defer the money and they get a complete break off of the CBT. Like, they're deferring 25% of the salary, and the CBT payroll number is going to be, like, roughly $31.5 million.
Baseball's got to do something. I don't know how, and it's a shame if you have to wait 2 years as to the when, but something's got to be done because the Dodgers, credit to them, very, very savvy to be able to do what they did and then also have the variable of a guy that makes as much outside of baseball as Ohtani, but it's just the rich getting richer is a scary proposition.
Yeah, look, I have no problem with deferral. Let me be very clear. I have no problems with team deferring money. If I was an owner, I would try to do it too. Contracts. I'm surprised Crane hasn't done it, as kind of financial forward as he is and as big a businessman he is. Now, the people kind of overstate the savings on it because you do have to start paying on that deferred money right away. You get it at like a 5% discount, but you do have to start putting that money aside. So we do kind of overrate the deferral. I don't want to eliminate deferrals. What I want is that I want that money factored into the competitive balance tax. So if it's 120, 3 years, I don't care how they pay Bregman. I don't care if they pay him 50 years down the road. I don't care if there's a Alex Bregman day, like there's a Bobby Bonilla day. But it absolutely must count against the CBT. It must count against the luxury tax payroll.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I just think that, you know what, I think it blindsided baseball as a whole because they just – I didn't think they expected it. And now they've got to react to it, and that's the worst situation to be in. But in reacting to it, I think they have to do something about it sooner rather than later because that's – I mean, you're right. It all should account against your bottom line no matter when you're paying the player.
You know why it won't change, though? Because it helps the owner, so the owner's cool with it. And it also helps the player because it prevents teams – that have luxury tax or drives up the luxury tax. So it's kind of like this hidden money, like doesn't exist with the competitive balance tax. So actually, I don't think it will change. I think it should, but who's going to be the leading force to change it? Owners aren't going to do anything about it. Players don't want to have anything to do about it. So it probably won't change, which sucks. All right, here are some of the old tweets, because everybody's ticked off at me with the whole leadership is overrated, which, look, I think leadership matters. Like, let's not get it twisted. I think that it's cool to have. Like, would I rather have a guy be a leader or would I rather have him be a bum? I'd rather him be a leader. But would I rather a guy be a leader and suck at everything else, or I'd rather a guy not have any leadership skills and be Shohei Ohtani? I'd rather the Shohei Ohtani. Like when Carlos Correa left, oh, they're going to miss his mound visits and his leadership so much. No, they're going to miss his defense, first and foremost. They're going to miss his cannon for an arm. They're going to miss his bat in the middle of the lineup. That stuff matters way more than leadership. Not diminishing the leadership, not saying it doesn't matter, but the other stuff matters more. So here are some of the old tweets on Carlos Correa and the Astros having to recover without Carlos Correa. Which they won the World Series the very next year. This one, the Astros entered their last postseason with marquee free agents, both walked. Letting Carlos Correa do the same is a different matter entirely. Here's a quote from Jose Altuve. Remember who was so vocal about Alex Bregman staying around? Jose Altuve. What did Jose Altuve say when Correa was a free agent? He said he, Correa, is the leader of the team. We are where we are basically because of him. Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Alex Bregman.
Well, that was Altuve about Correa. But, yes, Altuve said the same thing
about
Bregman.
Yes.
Yeah. What did the Astros do the following week? They won the World Series. Stop fear-mongering these quotes. Here's another tweet about Correa's leadership. Just sitting here thinking Carlos Correa should be wearing an Astros jersey this season. You got a lot of work to do to win me back over, Jim. Not sure it's possible after letting your leader leave without even revisiting when he fell back into your lap. Because remember, he was also available late into the offseason, and the Astros thought that they might go after him one final time and then fell short. Like, how does that read in hindsight? Like, this is the same exact stuff. This was March, late March 2022. It's the same stuff with Alex Bregman.
No, it really is. And I think that you're right. I mean, the biggest of the big picture is, ideally, whoever you're going to pay a lot of money to is not only a hell of a player, but also has leadership capabilities. And if we don't have to, even if we don't see them like we did in the contract years of those two guys, you do realize it's helpful to have your highest paid players set a standard. This goes back to the old Bagwell and Biggio days where they said they didn't really need a manager because those guys were in charge of everything and disciplining and policing everything. It's the extra kind of icing on the cake when you have a all-star tech caliber player that also has leadership skills.
It's just funny. Like, this guy was coming at me. He was like, oh, you're so wrong about leadership. I was like, okay, do you want Tim Bogar with incredible leadership skills, or you want Carlos Correa with no leadership skills? Which do you pick? Who's picking Bogar?
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
one.
Look, it's one of the players that you are a big fan of. But Barry Bonds was never going to be considered a leader. Barry Bonds was a guy that was going to keep to himself. He didn't like to be bothered. He wasn't that kind of guy. He just wanted to do what he does best, which is hit the hell out of a baseball and win baseball games. He was known as a guy that wasn't, you know, trying to be that guy that goes and, like, helps the young guys and you know, supports and picks up the veteran guys. He just hit the crap out of the baseball and was one of the best of his era.
No, no doubt. You want Kevin Millar or you want Barry Bonds? Leadership
Bonds
is overrated.
Right.
Leadership. This is the point that I'm making. Leadership. You're overrating leadership. If you're saying that leadership is on par with the other actual skills of helping you win a baseball game, not saying leadership doesn't, then you would pick Kevin Millar over Barry Bonds. Like, listen to how silly that sounds. More of these are Correa tweets. Superstars come and go, but Correa is unique in that. In his in-limbo situation, he said all the right things, didn't alienate the fan base. He was a leader and stayed a leader. Hashtag intangibles. He didn't go crying on his way out. Hashtag pay Correa. Hashtag for the H. Hashtag Astros. Astros won the World Series the next year. Springer is my favorite player of this era of Astros baseball. While before 2020, I was very critical of Correa, just 1 year later, I take Carlos over George, and that is something I never would have said. I'll always be grateful for Springer, but Correa is the leader of this team. It's funny how a leader always pops up on teams. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
A leader always emerges.
Yeah, I mean,
always emerges, which also states it's the fact that it's overrated because one always emerges.
Yeah, it's inevitable, right? No matter what teams, you know, I maybe some people didn't set out to be the leader or didn't say that that's something that I want to be this year. You know, it's just inevitable. By the end of the season, you're going to look back and say so-and-so and or these two or three people were the leaders of our squad.
I never thought I'd see the day where Carlos Correa would become the de facto leader of the Astros. Always was under the impression that Springer was that guy. No more. Funny. Also, it's funny how Boris clients start making mound visits in their final year. Just saying. Correa is the most important piece to the Astros' success, and he proved it last year. He's the leader of this team and the clutchest hitter we have. It'd be a total mistake trading him. Why aren't we trying to extend him? Astros won the World Series when he left. Astros really need to re-sign Correa. He's really emerged as a leader and mentor these last two seasons. He's always first to cheer. My goodness. He's always first to cheer on and congratulate guys, settle guys, ground guys. He's the glue. Re-sign him, Astros. Astros won the World Series the next year. A leader. Pay this man. Hashtag Correa. Hashtag Astros. Correa is more than a great defensive shortstop. He's the first to defend his team and step up as a leader to help the new guys. Him and Altuve are like brothers, and he's a major part of the winning foundation of who the Astros are today. For the H, hashtag extend Correa. That one I kind of agree with. Cool. Now we can focus on a real leader and star. Astros, it's time to sign Correa! Exclamation point. My biggest concern with the Astros losing Correa, the dude was the undisputed leader. Alpha, led from within his own authentic personality. When Springer bounced, he stepped up and the team responded. Astros won the World Series the next year. Got to sign Correa to a long-term deal. Dude is the leader of this team. This is one of my favorite moments in 2020 when he yelled at Fromber, which was a cool moment. And also the second I realized that Correa is the leader we need long-term. Hashtag extend Correa. All right, I'm done.
I mean, and I think a lot of this, too, was the Joe Kelly and the Bellinger stuff, too, right? Like, people just, they wanted someone to kind of be the voice of at the entire franchise and the people. And when Correa dropped the F-bomb and Correa was the one being vocal about that, too, that solidified it. Then it was, I mean, he's the leader of all leaders. But before that, you could probably name five guys on that team that were leaders.
Key from L.A., okay, we get it. Yeah, I'm a good teacher, Key. Texter says, terrible segment. You were probably a Correa fanboy, and I probably read one of those tweets you just said where you're like, hashtag pay the man. Texter, those are horrible comparisons. Leadership matters, and in an equal player situation, you'd pick the leader. Sure, but that's moving the goalpost. Like, people were putting leadership ahead of other very important attributes that outweigh leadership. That's why leadership is overrated. Not saying it doesn't matter. It's overrated. Wasn't Maldonado a leader? Time for Altuve to be the leader. You'd be mistaken if you don't think Altuve's a leader. Altuve's voice carries a lot of weight, yes. And Altuve's not afraid to use it. He might do it publicly because he thinks it's undressing his teammates, but he's also been able to do that from time to time.
He has. Remember the time that McCullers showed up Yuli because sure of a botched ground ball, and Altuve didn't want to do it on the field, didn't want to do it, took him to the corner of the dugout and into the clubhouse tunnel, but damn sure made a point that that's never going to happen again.
Phillip 68, World Series winners next year, confirmed by Branham. I sure hope so. That'd be great. And then Texter says we have Christian Walker now. I have heard that Christian Walker is a great leader. You know what? Do you want – I'm not trying to poo-poo on Walker's leadership. Hopefully he is a great leader and, you know, they don't miss a beat in the leadership front. Do you want 35 dongs or do you want a leader?
Yeah, I want a gold glove and a hell of a year offensively, and I'll take my chances that someone else could be the guy that steps up to be the leader of this team.
Let's assume Christian Walker is a great leader, okay? And I've heard that he is. So Christian Walker's a great leader. That's one of his attributes. You mentioned a couple of his other ones, Blakers. You mentioned that gold glove for three straight years. You mentioned, you know, he's capable. He's hit 30 or more home runs in two of the last 3 years. He would have done it last year, but he only played in 130 games. Do you want 30 dongs? Do you want gold glove defense? Do you want leadership? Where does leadership fall in those three?
Last.
There we go. Leadership's overrated. It matters. No one's saying it doesn't exist. It's not important. It's just distantly behind those others. It's overrated. 713-703-776. Somebody who's not overrated is actually underrated. Hunter Brown. I'm ticked off about something that happened to Hunter Brown. Tell you what it is next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure, PRP treatments, and getting your hair back. He is absolutely fantastic, and he just wants Houstonians to know that he's right here in the Med Center, that this process and these processes work, and that he's not trying to just make oodles and oodles and oodles of money on this. He knows that people struggle with this daily, and he's told us multiple times. He's tried to reduce the price. He tries to run sales and do things so that people just understand if they do this, you can forget about spending all the money you've spent on all the other stuff that doesn't work, because this actually does. He does a ton of other things, and he's at the top of his field. He does plastic surgery, Botox, spa treatments, so much more. He's even got weight loss programs now, and how you get your abs back. But the biggest thing that he does and he's done since he's been a sponsor of this station, and it's been for a long, long time, is get people's hair back. And it's absolutely fantastic. And what he's always done for the listeners here, and he continues to do if you're hearing my voice, is if you listen to me and you want to talk to him, you get a consultation that's absolutely free that normally costs people off the street $150. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and sign up for that consultation. It's free. There's nothing to sign on the dotted line for. No money out of your pocket. No commitment to be made. You just go in and they explain to you, hey, look, we're going to show you before and after pictures of people, maybe even mine. They're going to show you the fact that this is how the process works. Let you ask questions, give you the answers, see if it's something you might be considering. If you consider it, they're going to take care of you every step of the way. The processes are top-notch, cutting edge, and they work, and you're going to see your own hair back. Truth of the matter is you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. So he takes some of that in the NeoGraft procedure, puts it where you need it most, and maybe all of a sudden, like me, your hairline is back, or maybe that bald spot on top goes away, but the results are there, and they speak for themselves. Tell him I sent you by. He's the best in the business. Get that free consultation today. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let the good times roll. Take the day off work. Play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Occasional Invitational benefiting Kids Mills. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, March 4th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Brown Bag Deli, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. Fun golf. Register now at ESPN975.com under the Promotions tab and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time. A lot of people on the text line are getting on to me for a synonym that I use for home runs. You guys grow up. Don't act brand new. Don't act like you've never heard that before. Texter, where was Correa's leadership when a masseuse broke his rib? I mean, he can be a leader and also made of glass. Both things can be true. Dude is fragile.
Yeah, he had his issues, and there's always been the question of exactly how he got hurt, but yeah, whether it was the masseuse or other rumors and innuendo, yeah, he had all the offers lined up supposedly for that big money, and then all of the medicals started saying, beware of a couple of different things, including his ankle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done well for himself, but yeah, that was a fiasco of that time. I think it was the second time, right? Because he signed with Minnesota, and then it was the second time whenever he signed with San Francisco
first,
and the Mets.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and then they failed physicals on both, and then ultimately landed back with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Look, I loved Correa. Correa was my favorite player. I still really enjoy Correa. I liked Correa more than Bregman. I'll admit that. But dude can't stay on the field. He played 86 games last year. He was good last year when he played, but he can't stay on the field. Poor guy, man.
No, you're right.
Well, he's not poor, but.
I mean, and again, and you know, my favorite of that era was George Springer. But I knew, and I knew from a business perspective, they were never going to sign him and re-sign him. And that because of his age and how well he had played for the Astros, while they did what he probably was never a fan of in terms of kind of holding him back, is that he was never going to give the return on investment to be worth of whatever new deal he signed. And he's living up to that with Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Texter, why are people freaking out? I look at Bregman leaving and freeing up that money as a positive. Let's go get more pitching and an outfielder, please. If you believe that, I have some oceanside property in Arizona I'd like to sell you, Texter. Slide into my DMs. 713-780-ESPN. So MLB does their top 100, much like the NFL does their top 100. They left off Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown was not a top 100 pitcher this year, and it's criminal that Hunter Brown is not in the top 100. Hunter Brown in his last, 22 starts last year had, a 2.50 ERA. If he would have done for the entire year what he did in his last 22 starts, well, you're cherry picking, Branham. 22 starts is a pretty big sample. It also came around the time when he added that cutter to his repertoire. And look, I'm not saying that he should be top 10. I'm not saying he should be top 25, top 50. But do I think that he belongs in the top 100 over guys like Jacob DeGrom, who hasn't pitched in 15 years? Do I think that he belongs in the top 100 over Paul Goldschmidt. Love you, Paul. Houston kid from the Woodlands, but long in the tooth. Is he better than Nolan Arenado? Yes, he's better than Nolan Arenado. I think that Hunter Brown got and look, this isn't tangible, doesn't matter a whole lot. Hunter Brown got robbed.
Yeah, I mean, when you start mentioning some of the other guys on the list, if they're still on the top 100, especially at this stage in Paul Goldschmidt's career, and you can't see what Hunter Brown's did, then maybe that's either bias against the Astros or you just don't follow the game close enough, because that's ridiculous.
Because this is, I mean, this is supposed to be a list of right now, not your baseball reference, you know, page for your Hall of Fame credentials.
Back of baseball card.
Yeah, exactly. Back of your baseball card.
You know, the back of his baseball card.
Pause there for the drop. But, like you mentioned a few names, because the conversation you have to have if you say Hunter Brown should be on is like, well, right, who are you pulling off? And I agree with, you know, Paul Goldschmidt should be taken off. Jacob DeGrom should be taken off. I'd add Dansby Swanson to that list. I mean, he's obviously had several really highly quality years, all-star years, mm-hmm. but last year's OPS Plus was under 100. Hunter Brown, since I think it was May 5th when he added that cutter, was one of the best pitchers in the American League. So he should be on this list instead of some of the guys we've named, including, I mean, I know Roki Sasaki is supposed to be the truth, but he hasn't pitched a game yet.
Hasn't pitched a game. Yeah, this list is, it was criminal. I'm very bullish on Hunter Brown, and like other people aren't. Like, I placed the plus 2,500 Hunter Brown to win the AL Cy Young. I'm a little bothered that Hunter Brown's not on this top 100 list, and I usually don't even care about lists. Like, lists are stupid. I never care about lists, but this one got to me because Hunter Brown's not on the top 100. And sometimes I need to reevaluate myself. Sometimes I'm the wacky one. Do you think that I'm wrong with my bullishness here for Hunter Brown?
No, we talked about it last year. We talked about the fact that regardless of who you've lost and what your pitching staff looks like, the fact that your top two starters can go 1-2, and I think you might have put up a poll, but we definitely were talking about it, of the fact that they might be one of the best 1-2 combinations of top two starting pitching in the league and probably in Major League Baseball. And when you think about it, the Yankees are trying to compete with that. They went out and made moves to try and improve the top of their rotation. But, yeah, Garrett Cole is obviously an ace. But when you take Fromber and you take Hunter Brown, if they're both in combination, one of the top two, top of the rotation, you know, starting pitching combinations in all of baseball, then they're both holding their own, and Hunter Brown deserves his flowers.
So I'm not losing my mind. No. Well, at least for this. I might be losing my mind in other areas, but I'm not losing my mind because I'm mad about this list with Hunter Brown.
No, I don't think so at all because, again, look around and say, you know, how many starting pitchers are better than Hunter Brown right now in the American League and in baseball? And I think that that list is not very long.
The Astros are well represented on this list. Jordan Alvarez, they unveiled the top 10 yesterday. Jordan Alvarez, number 7, which, okay, that's cool. I think he has to. I do too. But like he was a little banged up, and like I still don't think he's had that breakout, oh my goodness, season that I do think is coming. I think he has. I think he has number one potential. Mm-hmm. I think he has a chance to be number one on this list in the next coming years. Now he'll probably need help. Like Shohei Ohtani will probably need to be, you know, have a down year. Shohei's the tough one, especially since he's going to add the pitching back to the mix again. I think Jordan has top two, top three potential. But he was at number 7, which I agree with you, low. Jose Altuve was number 30, which might be kind of high, but he was 30. Framber Valdez at 45. Christian Walker, the new leader of the Houston Astros, number 4, and that's so important that they have that. And then number 5 on the list for the Astros at number 85 was Isak Paredes.
Huh.
Yeah, Isak made the top 100 list. I would have Hunter Brown ahead of Isak. Like, who are the most important Astros this season? Isak or Hunter Brown?
Yeah, Hunter Brown.
Importance isn't the same as who's better. Who's better, Hunter Brown or Isak? I would still say Hunter Brown.
Your argument is the frequency. The better argument is the frequency of if Paredes is playing every day and Hunter Brown's pitching every fifth day, then you can start trying to find value there. But other than that, I mean, look, I think Hunter, we know you only go as far as your pitching is going to take you. And this year, he is one of your two best pitchers, and they are going to lean heavily on him.
Yeah. Yeah, the Astros well represented, though, here. I think it shows that they're still a solid team. Alex Bregman, for those that are scoring at home, he was number 35 on this list.
Okay. So,
That's what being 35 on this list is what 40 million gets you these days. Actually, 37. My bad, 37. It depends on which Alex Bregman you get, right? Like second half of Alex Bregman, probably around 37. First half of Alex Bregman, not top 100.
Yeah, and I mean they play the full season, so we'll see what he does this year. But yeah, I think 37 to me seems a little high for the entire body of work last year.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would agree. I think you know what's happening here. You know what's happening with Bregman being as high as 37.
East Coast bias.
East Coast bias. We got a little East Coast bias going on with Alex Bregman.
That was quick.
He used to be this cheater in Houston. Now he's reunited with a cheater in Alex Cora. Nobody cares. But East Coast bias up to number 37. Can you believe? Yeah, I think he was actually listed at because it's been a slow unveil. I think he was already at 37 before he even signed.
Now,
but let the truth get in the way of a good story. It's East Coast bias, baby.
Let me ask you this: if the Astros were to get one more, who's the player in waiting? Because I was wondering how
Hunter
far.
Hunter Brown.
I mean, well, yeah, that's right. But if it's not Hunter Brown, because to me it's like, how far off is Yiner?
Yeah, he would need to put together a good year.
Yeah.
He would need to put together a good year. Like, he's probably not close to top 100 currently. Do I think he has the potential to be top 100? I think he could be a top 100 next season.
That's why I said, how far off is he? I don't think he's in the top 100.
A year away?
Yeah, maybe.
If he hit... I mean, he had for a bunch of power his rookie year that kind of disappeared last year. Yeah. If he can put the best of two worlds together, and look, maybe this is him needing to make adjustments and, you know, maybe being a pro. You would think with good leadership of Alex Bregman, he would have been able to do that. But he had 23 home runs and 377 plate appearances his rookie year. Last year in 619 plate appearances, he hit 16. So, like, the power kind of disappeared for him, but he hit 299. So if he can hit 300 with 25 bombs playing the catcher position, he's probably top 100 next season.
Yeah, maybe as soon as next season. I was going to say the same thing. Like, he's got to find some, like, beat me in the middle between all the power and all the offensive numbers that he had when he played limited his first year and last year, where he just was less than what we expected. If he could kind of somewhat settle in between the two, I think he could have a really good offensive year this year. I was thinking like a year and a half, 2 years away, but maybe he could do it if he has a good year this year.
Yeah, I think 325 dongs playing catcher puts him there. But can he do it? Right. All right. 713-780 ESPN. Killer Bees have been rolling, and I still don't like this game. But who said it? Coming up next, it is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.